Good morning, everybody. I'm Larry Jacobs. This is Pre-K-12 Education Talk Radio on September 10th, 2020. And I thank you so much for listening today, or perhaps you're listening on the archives. We know a lot of people do. They get in there through many different ways, but you can always go to our website, which is education-talkradio.org, education-talkradio.org, and we have every show we've done listed there with a link to it, so you're welcome to do that. We change our schedule over there on Saturdays if you want to keep up with what we're doing, and we tweet over at EduTalkRadio. You can follow us over there on Facebook. It's Education Talk Radio, and on LinkedIn, it's just my name, Larry Jacobs, and we have nice news. Our new back-to-school issue of Equity and Access magazine from our American Consortium for Equity in Education, okay, is up on site over at ACE-ed.org, ACE-ed.org. This issue is fantastic, okay? It's a back-to-school issue in the midst of this COVID crisis, in the midst of all the conversations, et cetera, about social justice. We focus on equity. We want you involved, too. You can join our consortium. Okay, it's an industry-led consortium, an industry-supported consortium. Educators join for free, and I thank all of you for doing that. And you're all cordially invited to join with us in the voice and fight for equity over at ace-ed.org. We got big stuff doing over there, and I'll tell you, this new issue is just excellent. Today, we have a wonderful show. We got our old friends from Reading Horizons on the show, Tyson Smith, who's the CEO and president over there with this excellent company. They'll tell you what they do, and also back one of their education specialists, okay, who has a podcast of her own. She can talk about that. Okay, Laura Axtell. We're going to talk about several things. We're going to frame it around the state of Arkansas, okay? I've had the Arkansas State Education Commissioner, Johnny Key, on the show, and he was really interesting. This is about a year and a half ago, if I remember correctly. And Johnny talked about how he was moving Arkansas to look at, quote, the science of reading, all right? And he really, really put together, he and his team put together a list, okay, of what needs to be done and what vendors work to make reading really accessible to all children, no matter where they be of any socioeconomic level, et cetera, throughout the state, rural, urban, whatever. And hopefully that's going to continue on to other states. On that list, all right, is Reading Horizons. And so we're going to talk about what the list means to them, what how they're working with the list, all the great products they have. Old friends, Tyson, Laura, welcome. I'll say hi, Laura, ladies first, Laura first. Hi, Laura.
Hi, thanks for having us.
Oh, it's a pleasure to have you back here today. Tyson, how are you?
Fantastic. Larry, again, appreciate being on the show.
My pleasure. You got good stuff to talk about. I always want to do that with folks. And I don't think you guys even knew that I had Johnny. I don't know if you know Johnny. It was really an excellent show. He's a good guy, and I know they're trying so hard in Arkansas. It's a nice framework to work around, okay? And I love when he talked about, and you folks are talking about being part of it, the science of reading. Okay, so let's put what you guys do in perspective and then go into what Arkansas is doing and how other states and other school districts that use your product may be doing it as well. So I should let Tyson do this. Tyson, you're president and CEO. Tell everybody about Reading Horizons.
Well, I appreciate the opportunity, Larry. We've been promoting what is being called now the science of reading for decades. Reading Horizons is established on some specific, explicit, systematic phonics decoding strategies that are scientifically proven and have been for a long time. And so it's been really neat to watch as the industry over the last, especially the last 20 years, has swung over and is recognizing the importance of teaching the structure of our language and the science behind reading. Mm-hmm. And we know that as we do, it makes a significant difference in the number of students who become proficient readers.
Absolutely, it does. And I love education is a science. All right. I have a BS in education, a Bachelor of Science in Education. Teaching within it is also a science regarding the context in which we teach, as you were just saying, the structure of reading. All right. But also the way we learn, et cetera. And you put that all together into a science of reading, it really makes sense. Tyson, discuss for a minute, and more specifically, if you can, I'm going to zero you down in here, about reading horizons, just so people understand really what you guys do. I'm going to let you focus more on that.
Sure. So, again, our emphasis is on we identify the patterns that are prevalent in our language, and we focus on empowering teachers with those rules, those patterns. We call it our methodology. It's a method that we promote that is completely aligned with what Arkansas is doing with the science of reading. And what we found is that in many cases, educators weren't taught the science, the rules in college.
Exactly.
And so we'll approach a school district and even state offices of education and talk about that. Like, here's a system that once teachers find it and they adopt it, it absolutely changes their mindset and their role and their perceived role, I should say, as an educator in helping to deliver quality reading instruction. So what takes us beyond that, though, isn't just the focus on the science and the structure of our language, but empowering teachers, giving them some quality training, and then allowing them to blend with technology tools as well. And so we've taken the science of reading and applied it in a few very important and impactful ways to technology with software and tools for teachers to help to bring that science of reading alive, to breathe life into it for a teacher and for their students.
Yeah, it's really something. And Laura, you work directly with teachers, right?
Absolutely.
Okay, and you are you working with the folks at you yourself? Are you working with the folks in Arkansas?
We actually have a whole cadre of trainers and curriculum specialists, and so it just depends on the needs of the district and the state. So we work across the country and actually internationally.
Okay, cool. Very good. And when you go in and talk about this and teach people how to use it, I might add, you're literally in the trenches with these folks. When you talk, I'm going to say this the right way, when you talk about a science of reading, and by the way, this is something I have to give, I always am in awe that we can teach people how to read. I mean, obviously, I know how to read. Everybody knows. Everybody we know is literate knows how to read. But it's something we take for granted, okay, and we should not. And my point of that is it's just an amazing thing to me because I don't know how to teach it, that people can teach people how to read. And I love that. I know that sounds naive and silly, but I mean that seriously, all right? But when you go in with the Reading Horizons information and the method and talk about the science of reading, how is it different from what, say, I learned back in, I think it was the year 1847 when I was in elementary school?
Well, I think it's really good to maybe define what we mean by the science of reading. And Shanahan has a really simple definition, which is just those methods and approaches that Tyson talked about that have been found through research to give kids a learning advantage in reading. So not something that the district may have been using for 20 years or that somebody, a curriculum director, really liked. It's what are the things that are focused on applying those skills that we know the brain needs in order to learn to read.
Thank you.
We know that because we have 40 years of research that backs it up. So
I love that.
I'm going to say that again.
Using those skills that we know the brain needs, again, it has to do with science. This is neuroscience. The science
right,
of
absolutely.
I love this. Yeah, and that's key stuff because I don't think when I was in school they had any idea that your brain had anything to do with reading.
Well,
okay.
And you know what? There are still teachers coming out of school that have no idea that that speech is naturally occurring. You know, so even if kids have speech delays, they're going to eventually be able to speak unless there's another factor. But reading is not like that. The brain was not designed really to read. That's a relatively new neuro invention, you know, for the brain.
Wow.
And so we have to provide a different kind of instruction. And a lot of teachers still are not even aware of that.
So why are I'm going to ask you this. Okay. Why are what you just said is incredibly telling. Okay. So how can teachers, and again, we're not talking about all teachers, but how can some teachers not be aware of that if they've gone to college? Okay, which means the colleges are not teaching them this. Okay?
Larry, I have a master's degree in special ed, and I wasn't taught that. So the whole point is that higher ed really is the key, and that's where Arkansas and other states like Arkansas are really starting to move the dial. Because, as Tyson mentioned, we've only really got two choices. We either train teachers when they're pre-service, before they get into the classroom, about all of this, so they're prepared going in, or once they're in the classroom, if they're not aware of it, they need that professional development training, and then they need the resources, which is where the curriculum comes in. So, you know, we have, Reading Horizons has both a program specifically designed for K-3, those, you know, brand new readers and emergent readers, and then a program for older kids. So the K-3 program is called Discovery, because that's really what they're doing with all those components of language. And the program for 4-12 and above, even used in lots of adult correctional programs, is called Elevate. And that's because we want kids who are older to have access to resources that are specifically designed for them. They don't need stuff that looks like it's for little kids. What they need is, the resources that apply to them.
Right. It's a good point. And I'm going to ask both of you here, you heard me talk about our commitment to equity here. We publish our magazine, Equity and Access. We have the Consortium for Equity in Education. I'm very concerned about this because I think if I may, most states are, and Arkansas is a standout on this. Okay, they were very concerned, and in their case, I believe it was rural that what they were especially concerned about. Kids were really falling behind, okay, and not reading. And I want you, can you approach this, either of you, Tyson or Laura, and I'll ask Laura, but you can swing it over, from that equity point of view, because every school district is hot on equity right now. It's about time, I might add. Okay, they want every kid to be educated and educated well. And again, Arkansas is doing a hell of a good job on this. Okay, they're really, really trying. All right, and approach reading from an equity standpoint from what you guys do at Reading Horizons, if you can. And Laura, I'll ask you, if you want to pass it to Tyson, he's good at answering the really tough questions. He's very good.
Okay,
I know
him.
He's good at that.
I just wanted to go back to Arkansas for a little bit. Arkansas is the leader now, and it is absolutely an equity issue. So I am so glad you're focusing on that. But Arkansas is where they are today because back in 2015, they realized they had a problem when the National Assessment for Educational Progress scores came out, and 31% of Arkansas fourth graders were proficient in reading. Only 31%. And at eighth grade, only 27%. They were in the lowest third of the nation in reading. And what did they do? They said, you know what? We've got to change something. If kids can't read, they can't ever reach
their
potential.
They're doomed.
Right.
They can't read, doomed.
It's
absolutely
an equity
educationally
issue.
They're doomed. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. It's terrible. Okay.
And Tyson can talk about how it's beyond education. It applies to every part of their lives, their careers.
That's why we're doing
what we're doing.
Good fee, good lead in. Go ahead, Tyson. Equity.
You know, it's interesting. Yeah, as you're speaking to equity, I mean, two thoughts. First of all, I will chime in that what Arkansas, what they put together with their RISE initiative that I was first exposed to a couple of years ago as I visited their state office of education, I was tremendously impressed with that initiative and the long and short of it. I mean, every K-6 educator proficient in the science of reading, every secondary educator aware, that is a tremendous undertaking. If you talk about making paths to equity for everyone across the state to have access to quality reading instruction, that is really an earth-shaking initiative. I mean, in our industry, it's just
a
fantastic focus by Arkansas. But I will say this too. This is to kind of maybe speak to why more of the science of reading hasn't proliferated more the industry.
Yeah.
I mean, part of it is because it can be perceived as being very complicated. The perception is frequently that to get in and learn some of what it takes to teach students the structure of the language and the science of reading can be very complicated. What we've tried to do is simplify some of that for teachers. So that, yeah, especially if I am an eighth grade science teacher and I'm expected to be aware, in Arkansas, what does that mean for me? And how am I? Because I do. I want my students to be proficient in science, right? Eighth grade science. If I'm that teacher, what can I do in order to become aware of those of the science of reading, those principles, right? The foundation for the science of reading. We're huge advocates of being able to provide meet those educators where they are. We don't expect them to go back and get a PhD in reading in order to fulfill that mandate, but give them resources that meet them where they are and help to fill in gaps, right? Whether I'm a first grade teacher and I need an extra dose, and even at that level, you know, to expect them to go back and do years of additional learning and education, it's not reasonable, right? It's not realistic. And so I think it's important, as we talk about equity in education, meeting the educators where they are and providing them with resources that fill in their gaps, but that don't overwhelm them, right? Because if it's overwhelming,
right,
we're never going to get real traction. So,
right. And you know, you said something that really struck me, that understanding the science of education, if I may, is quote, many people feel it's too complicated. Okay. Well, I have to say we are teachers, are professionals in their field. And just as you expect your doctor to be up to date on the latest techniques and pharmaceuticals, et cetera, you expect that. Okay. The public needs to understand. Okay. And teachers need to understand. Well, let me say it the other way. Teachers need to understand that the public needs to respect them for their continuing and ongoing learning, literally understanding that science, because we have the neuroscience now. And that's why I love that phrase, science of reading. Okay. We are dealing with science. And I will say it again, if we let kids fall back, your example's perfect. If they can't read, they're not going to do well in eighth grade science. I can tell you that right now. Okay?
That's
right. It's that simple. Okay? And they're also not going to do well in eighth grade math. Okay? You got to be able to read. All right? It's that simple. You can't – if two locomotives are traveling towards each other and each at a different speed, when will they meet? You got to be able to read that. You got to be able to articulate the problem reading wise. It's so incredible. And Laura, let me ask you. You said the discovery is for K-3. What are the upper? Do you have upper grade things as well?
Yes. So for fourth grade and above,
say it again.
Fourth grade and above is called Elevate, and that
Elevate is
really designed. Right. So that is really designed to ensure that students who already have a lot of exposure to text, and they've been in these classes often for many years because we work with high school kids, adult education, adult corrections, but they don't know what to do.
Right.
Nobody's ever explained in the way Tyson mentioned how simple this is and how systematic from simple to more complex. So older students can actually often apply those skills much more quickly because they're like, oh, now I understand it. Now I see how reading actually works.
Yeah, yeah. It's unbelievable. When you go into a school district, Laura, are you talking to them about the equity side as you deal with this? Because I'm telling you, that is of top concern to every school district out there. I mean, the pandemic,
right,
you know, that's what's going on. That's actually top
right
concern. Okay, but everything
absolutely
else falls right under it. You know,
right,
student safety
right
is top
but
right now. Yeah,
absolutely. But we don't really in any district that works with, you know, students in their community, we don't have to talk much about equity because they live it every day. They know that there are kids whose parents can afford to get a private tutor or to go to a special camp or something if they have issues. But think about all the kids who are struggling in their classrooms. And that's why teachers are so excited when they see that there are resources that can support them, because these are the kids they could never reach before.
Yeah.
They didn't have the understanding and the ability to provide that, you know, that instruction and intervention when it was needed. And so they get it. They totally know that there are so many students who are not, it's not an even playing field at all. Think about the kids with dyslexia. You know, they're going to need more of the types of intervention based on the science of reading to ever actually be able to, you know, catch up and thrive with their fellow students. they're going to struggle in that particular area until we do something to close the gap.
Yeah, and reading, and you said it best, is an equity issue. It is absolutely an equity issue. And Tyson, you mentioned something in passing at the very beginning, and you used the word technology, okay? And I want you to go over that, okay, and what Reading Horizons and about the science of reading, what how technology is playing a role. Because I want people to understand, because every kid, basically not every kid, but most kids are remote right now, away from the school building. Okay, but they still got to learn to read. All right, and talk about the technology side of it, Tyson.
Sure. I'd love to, Larry. Yeah, that's that's an area. You know, we've been working in education technology for 36 years, and first recognized the value of this type of an approach for older students.
Yep.
I mean, we began using it with adults in correctional facilities 30 years ago. Where they had not been able to learn to read in K-12 and ended up in prison, their ability to learn with technology that was infinitely patient, right, teaching them these important skills, but in a way that they could they could digest the material so we started years ago working with older students who had failed to learn to read and over the last 25 years have developed additional tools for K-3. As Laura mentioned, the discovery products, and it's amazing because we'll train a teacher and give her the information and get her going with the instruction, and then technology tools can either reteach, pre-teach, allow the students to practice.
Yep.
It's a real opportunity. It's instruction the teacher can trust, because it's consistent. In times like these, it's absolutely paramount. Right, because now she can give them an assignment, and they can be working, and whether she's got time to be instructing them or not, she's preparing her lessons and working with other students online potentially, but it allows students to work independently. It's competency-based learning, right, with technology.
Wow,
and very effective at being able to help, to allow students to whether it's reteaching or pre-teaching, right, those who are ready to advance. They can move at their own pace. Those who need extra help, it can reinforce concepts. And so there really is an amazing case for technology and the science of reading because every student is going to understand and learn and digest the concepts at a different rate.
They have to. And again, I'm going to say what you guys are saying is very important. I hope school district teachers tell kids this, that what we're doing when I'm teaching you to read, you're actually learning science. Okay, I know how your brain works, and I'm going to make you read and all that. And if kids understand that. Excuse me. I think they're going to do just great. Okay, I think they're going to do just great. This is really cool. Tyson, as you go to other states besides Arkansas, okay, and again, they're a leader in this, okay, and you talk about reading science, do people really understand that it is a science?
You know, Larry, it really is it depends on the state. I mean, we definitely over the years, there's the states where we've had better reception. Again, we've been singing this song for over three decades, and there have been some states that have been very receptive. They've worked diligently over the last 20 years, especially to get more of the science of reading to instill more knowledge in their colleges of education, right, with the pre-service teachers. There's some states that have been doing that for a number of years. I remember when I first started in the industry in the 90s that there were a couple of universities in Ohio that were working diligently to try and help empower their teachers with the science of reading. There are some that do better than others.
Always
you know,
the case.
We've got, Well, and it's neat because at this point in time, a number of states, so Arkansas is leading out, but a number of states are following and, taking their lead and working to write legislation, right?
Remember something, I may be wrong here, when I talked to Commissioner Key down in Arkansas, Johnny, who likes to be called Johnny, by the way, everybody. I think that's actually his name, okay? And Johnny, who was a terrific guy, told me about he was working with the schools of education down there. And as you – do you talk to the schools of education – those who are teaching future teachers about this, goes, I have a bone to pick with the colleges regarding that. Did you ever get in touch with them, Tyson? Tyson? Laura? Who's there?
Well, I'll jump in.
Yeah, wait a minute, Tyson. I lost him first. I don't know why that happened.
Actually,
Tyson, are you there?
Yeah, I got.
Oh, there you go. Okay. Did you hear what I said?
No, I didn't.
Oh, what I said, excuse me, Laura, let me get back to him since I was asking him. What I was asking was, do you ever interact with the colleges of education to show them what you're doing? And I have a serious bone to pick with the colleges. I have always said that the industry, like you guys, knows a lot about whatever thing you're doing. In this case, it's reading. And the colleges seem to be aloof from the tools that are available to educators in K-12. Okay? I don't think a lot of them understand the tools. I mean, if using Reading Horizons, your company, they need to know about this. Okay? And I don't know how to make them more aware of it. Do you interact with colleges a lot? This has always been a contention of mine.
You know, it's interesting, Larry, because I agree. In my years in the industry, recognizing there's this void, right, and this knowledge gap. We worked starting about 10 years ago. We put together an online training tool that teaches the science of reading. Our partner, we have a nonprofit partner called the Rise Institute for Literacy, that has adopted that tool. And we're working diligently to try and help promote it to colleges of education. We have, at this point in time, over 125 colleges of education that have adopted this workshop.
It's wow.
Again, an online training tool for pre-service teachers. The professors can put it in as part of their syllabus, add it to their curriculum.
Wow.
And allows the pre-service teachers to go through and learn. It's free for colleges of education.
There you go.
And so we have a few hundred professors now that have adopted it, and
that is great.
Again, part of their curriculum, because again, it's people have asked me why would you put your rules out there where people can access them for free? And our pitch at Reading Horizons has been, you know what, we're absolutely committed to fixing the reading problem, to getting the teachers, empowering teachers with the skills they need to learn to teach people to read. So
and by the way, I don't know which one of you asked, what is the percentage of students now, and I'll say in seventh grade, why not, that are whatever grade you want to pick, or after third grade, that are really below level in reading? What's the percentage
If you look at the National Assessment of Educational Progress Scores, which is really the only consistent thing we've had over the last 30 years to track that, we're still about one-third of students at eighth grade are reading proficiently.
One third, 33% are reading professionally.
It depends on the state because it's done nationally, and you know. But yes, about one third of students are considered to be reading proficiently.
Okay, let's go
and
to
that.
What's the best percentage?
Over 30 years.
Yeah, what's the best percentage? Okay, of kids, you know, is it 60%, 80%, 90%?
Oh no, but nobody's at that level. And the whole point is, we don't really know yet how well students are going to be able to perform, because as we are talking about this, we're just now building that foundation to prepare teachers and to give them the tools to teach the students. We believe, and the research shows, that all but about 5% of students can learn to be fairly proficient readers.
Exactly. And
so,
it doesn't matter about race or gender or socioeconomic.
Absolutely not. And what we know, for example, is that with dyslexia, there's no connection to intelligence. So these are kids who are average or above average intelligence, who could absolutely learn to read if they were given what they needed. When you talked about it being neurological, all reading happens in the brain. So that's what we are doing. We are wiring the brain for print.
And by the way, I love what you said about that and how people are not naturally wired to read. Okay, mm-hmm. I never realized that. We're naturally wired to speak. Okay, but we're not for language, so to speak. But no pun intended. But we're not for reading, which is really to me an interesting fact. Okay,
absolutely,
it has to be taught. It
absolutely
has to be taught. Wow,
and it has to be taught in a specific way. That's where that explicit systematic instruction comes in. And when we're talking about multisensory, we're talking about that part of instruction that wires the brain. So when students with dyslexia, for example, don't have certain language centers activated, we have to provide the instruction in a way that will actually, well, you know, activate those language centers.
It's all neuroscience. It's all neuroscience.
Absolutely.
And let me ask this, whichever one of you wishes to answer, okay? So, Laura, I'll ask you, and you'll get to Tyson. What are you hearing from the teachers? I'll use Arkansas. What are you hearing?
It's not just Arkansas. And I want to give a plug for a couple of other states who have done some fantastic work. Arkansas has the most comprehensive initiative in terms of preparing their teachers. But, you know, what's happened over the last 5 years is that organizations like Decoding Dyslexia, which are grassroots parents organizations in every state, have pushed for legislation. And almost every state now has some form of legislation that applies to reading and the science of reading as it relates to dyslexia and students who have print-based disabilities, right? So for example, Kansas didn't have legislation, but what they did, their state Department of Education took it on, and they have an amazing comprehensive plan, which included, I want to be clear about this, it included their higher ed folks. So those College of Education were part of the committee that developed their standards, and they're very ambitious standards for what they're going to accomplish. So states like Colorado and Texas and Alabama that have really taken this on, because we know there's a problem. Mississippi was the only state on the last NAEP scores that actually showed an increase in reading. And why?
I read that.
Because several years ago, they adopted some of these practices that connect to the science of reading. So teachers are, once they see it, they totally get it, and they're excited about
it. They have to get it.
And they realize, like most of us, we have regrets about the fact that we didn't know this. So there's a saying we always, you know, that we promote: when we know better, we do better.
We do better. And I'll tell you, teaching, and I know there is an art to teaching, okay, but education is a science, okay? And when we talk about how people learn and our pedagogy that is based on how people learn, we're going to get that much further. So I'll ask you the softball question as we leave. Tyson, does Reading Horizons work?
Absolutely.
There you go.
Larry, absolutely. We have thousands and hundreds of thousands of teachers that we've trained and students who we've touched over the years that can speak to it. When they understand that science, we've used that term 100 times the last 30 minutes. When they really understand the science, it changes the teacher's perspective, and it changes the lives of, as Laura said, 95% of students can be proficient readers if they're taught the science.
There you go. The science, everybody. Great stuff. You guys are always welcome here. You're just terrific, and you got a great company. I can't thank you enough. We got to go. Laura, thanks a million. Okay. Are you in Utah?
Thank you.
Laura, where are you?
I am in Delaware.
Delaware. Oh, right.
Right.
We have
remote staff all over the place because we train and work all over the place.
Where are you in Delaware? The second most.
Delaware.
I grew up in Philadelphia. I know Delaware.
Let me ask you
the Perry Como question. What did Delaware? What's the answer? Do you know?
Oh. What is Delaware?
She wore a brand new jersey. She wore a brand new jersey.
That's a
okay.
New one. Most of the time people just say Delaware.
That's great. The blue heads. Yeah. Good, cool place,
yep.
Delaware.
Yep.
Okay. Joe Biden's home state, as a matter of fact.
That's
interesting.
Right.
No, actually not his home state, his adoptive state. He was born in Pennsylvania.
Right.
Oh, interesting. That's cool. And of course, you're in Utah. Am I correct, Tyson?
Yep, I am.
Cool. Okay, this is great. Thank you both. Both of you, stay safe, please, in this nutsy pandemic time. Stay safe, and we'll be in touch.
Thank you.
Okay?
Okay.
Thank you both.
Take care.
Bye-bye. So the correct answer was in Delaware. She wore a brand new jersey. There you go. All right, we're going to archive. I'm showing my age with that, by the way. Okay, we're going to archive the show at education-talkradio.org and tweet it out over at EduTalkRadio, just like we always do. Please follow us over there. More importantly, our back-to-school issue of Equity and Access, AC&E, our magazine, our online journal of the American Consortium for Equity in Education is available at ace-ed.org. Go over there, go over there, read it, enjoy it, and join our consortium of free to educators. I'm Larry Jacobs. Thanks for listening.